Rebuilding Your Life, Moving from Disaster to Prosperity with Susan Chiraco, where we help you transform your life by changing what you're telling yourself. Whatever your circumstances, you can experience health, financial security, and a sense of well-being once again. And now, here's your host, Susan Chiraco.
Hello there, I'm Susan Chiraco. Welcome to Rebuilding Your Life Radio and the Train Your Brain, Claim Your Power calls. Today, Valerie Katz is joining us to talk about her book, The News from Arkansas. Sometimes a book has an energy or a point of view, a sense of humor that captivates people. And The News from Arkansas is that type of book. So I'd like to just get right into it and find out more about it. Please wave your hands and welcome Valerie Katz, author of The News from Arkansas. Hello, Valerie. It's so much fun to have you on the call today.
Oh, well, thank you so much for letting me be on it. I'm going to enjoy it, I'm sure.
Well, good. I hope so. You know, there's quite a bit of backstory to how this book came to be written. I mean, you're a California girl who wound up in Arkansas on the other side of the country. Can you tell us about how all this happened?
Well, I was a California girl. I was never going to leave California. Everybody knew that. And my boyfriend was in bed and he heard an ad by Eric Estrada for a beautiful place called Bella Vista Village, and they were offering free weekends. And he said, "Oh, honey, let's go." He'd been trying to get me to move away from the Los Angeles area, and I kept telling him no. So he says, "We haven't been anywhere in a while. It's free. Let's just go and have a free weekend." So I said, "Sure." So we went. And Bella Vista was as lush as advertised, and it was in the Ozark Mountains with golf courses and lakes all over the place. It was a 3-hour flight to get there, and I hadn't a clue where we landed. We met a nice couple in the bar, and I asked, "Where is Arkansas? Where are we?" And their answer was about halfway across the country and a little bit south.
Wow.
I said, "Okay, I know where I am now."
So it turned out to be a really enchanting place.
Oh, it's beautiful here, absolutely beautiful, and it's a wonderful place to. Turned out to be a widow shortly thereafter, but it's a wonderful place to be a widow. There's something going on here all the time, and it's just a great place to be.
But Valerie, you made this decision to buy this piece of property and leave California when you had a whole family back there. Who up until that time knew nothing about any of what you were doing. How did you tell them? How did this go over?
Well, giving the news to my family went something like this. It was Easter Sunday, and the gang was all there. We lined them up all in the stairs for the usual round of picture taking, and I told them we had a few announcements to make. I had already gotten one new cornea, and I needed the other one, so we started there. And a date had been set for the cornea. "Oh, that's wonderful," they said, and started getting up. And I started waving my hands in there, saying, no, there's more. The next good news was that we were getting married. So I announced with a flourish, "This, I would like to introduce you to my fiance." Then they were really excited. "Mom, that's wonderful," was it being expressed so loudly that the grandchildren, who had been sent upstairs when their round of pictures had been taken, all started to come down to see what was going on. The loud cheering started, and they started to get up. And again, I started waving my hands. No, there's still more. "We have one more announcement. We have decided to sell both our homes and buy one together." That was greeted with more excitement and the question where. When my answer was Arkansas, there was dead silence. Then the girls started to cry, and the boys looked like they wanted to. I wanted to remember this day, so David was making a video, and my oldest grandgirl, Kirsten, looked right into the lens and said, "You can't go." But in the end, they all gave us big hugs and said what they wanted most was for us to be happy. And so that was it. We started planning a wedding.
How long was it before you actually got married?
Well, we bought the house in April. And then on July the 31st, we got married. Awesome. We hadn't planned on getting married, but I told him if we were moving halfway across the country, I wanted him legally bound to stay with me once we got here.
I love it. So, but you weren't able to move in right away, were you?
It took us a year. It wasn't until October of 2008 that we were finally able to actually move here.
So what did you do in the meantime? I mean, did you travel back and forth during that time?
Well, we did. We'd go on long weekends and things like that. And we had, our friends were always asking us, you're moving where? What in the world are you going to Arkansas for? And so David was talking to his friends and he says, well, they have six lakes. And he says, well, David, do you fish? And David said, no. Well, they have seven golf courses. Well, David, do you play golf? And he said, no. And the guy said, then what in the heck are you moving to Arkansas for? They kept asking us, did we have our straw hats and our overalls and stuff like that?
Aw. Now, somewhere in the midst of all of this, a motorhome comes into your life, and you drive it.
Well, the idea was that we would be in California for 3 months out of the year. First of all, was for Christmas and Thanksgiving. And then in April or May for a month for my birthday and for Easter and for Mother's Day. And then all my children are born within a few weeks of each other. So we have in August, we have what we call the birthday bash. And I go for a month in. And I have a lot of friends still there. So I need to, you know, spend time there.
So you really did go back and forth quite a bit.
Yes, we did.
Okay. And
neither one of us had done this motorhome before. So
oh, really?
So it got to be kind of tricky.
you had to learn a lot about living in a motorhome, even on those short jaunts. Yes. I have a motorhome, and so I know how funky that can be at times. So the book comes into being somewhere along here. Where did the idea to do it, or how did it begin to take form?
Well, I started writing emails to my friends and family to let them know what was going on here. And I'm telling you, I found this place so delightful and a lot of things about it so amusing. And so I would write the news. You know, it started out being the news from Arkansas. And so I wanted to be able to tell my friends and my family about all the great things that were going on here and how much we were enjoying them. So I started sending the news to my family. Then David wanted the news sent to his family. And then some friends found out about it, and they wanted to be on the list. So my list got really long. And we were back in California. David was a dance instructor. And we were back in California at one of the dances, and this lady came up to me, and she said, you know, Valerie, I knew David before you ever met him. I don't get the news. And I said, listen, Joan, if you want to get the news, I'm happy to send it to you. I'll send you back issues if you want. So the word had gotten out, and they were all enjoying these quirky things I was sending.
Well, why were they so quirky? Was there such a difference between life in Arkansas and California?
Yeah, it's very, very different here. In California, I lived in the same house for like 34 years and didn't really even know my neighbors. Here we live on this little cul-de-sac and everybody knows everybody. And, you know, people came by to introduce themselves and they brought cakes and cookies and stuff. And it was great.
And they have, and I gather you found quite a community life there, where you're, you know, I know for myself in California, we don't necessarily participate with our neighbors. We don't know them, and we don't join too many clubs. So what you found a community where you do join groups.
Yes, I did. Now, when David was still alive, it was because of him, because he's the outgoing one. I'm basically a pretty shy person, but he was outgoing, and he went around. He wanted to get a dance community started here, so he found out where dances were being held, and he went around and talked to people. And until he passed away, I was David Katz's wife. People would look at me and they'd look kind of puzzled, and I'd look at him and I'm David Katz's wife. Oh yeah, Mrs. Katz, how are you? And until he passed away, that's who I was. And it didn't bother me at all. I was happy for that because he was the outgoing one. And then after he passed away, my sister Martha came here and to live with me. And she was the outgoing one. And since we were sisters, we got to join the Sisters Club. And through the Sisters Club, I met this group of wonderful women. And I joined an organization called Altusa that does really good work getting children to learn to read. And took cruises and learned to play bridge and just doing all kinds of stuff like that. So that's how all that happened.
Well, it is. Meantime, all of this you're capturing in these emails. How often did you write emails?
Well, at the beginning, every week, if something really funny happened, maybe more than every week. They kind of shut down a little bit after David passed away. And then I wrote that I was getting my voice back and started sending them again.
So how many do you think, I know these are all in the News from Arkansas as a book. How many emails did you include?
Oh, hundreds. Hundreds.
Well, what type of situations did you find yourself in? And what is it that makes them so unique? Or is it your reaction to them, what you describe?
Well, I tend to see the humor in things. And when things happen to me, it's not, oh, my gosh, you wouldn't believe what happened to me yesterday. It's, wait till I tell you what happened to me yesterday, that kind of thing. And the girls that are in my Altusa Club, they've all got my books, and some of them, after I joined, asked to be put on the news list. And so they had been getting the news already. So when I had the book come out, they said, oh, yeah, we definitely want the book.
This is a treasure. This is a memento. I think there were a couple stories that you mentioned to me that I really took note of. One was the time you went to the petting zoo.
Oh, yes. Let me see about that petting zoo. Yes, well, my granddaughters came to visit, and I said that they could come and stay as long as they wanted. So they were here for about 2.5 weeks. And we would have fun. We'd go bowling. They would cook cookies and stuff like that. And then they'd get tired of me and go downstairs. And then they'd get grumpy and start to fight and call my boys and upset them. So I called my boy and I said, you know, I'm sorry about this, but you know, this phone business. And he says, oh, we take the phone away from her every night at 10 o'clock. And I said, bingo. So the next night when they went downstairs, I asked for the phones. Well, there was a big hue and cry, but I said, give me those phones. I'm taking them every day. So on the third or fourth day, they said, Grandma, we haven't had a fight since you took the phones. If we promise not to fight, can we have them back? And I said, yes, you can have them back. I gave him back. So we were doing day trips and stuff. So there's a petting zoo around here. And one day we went there. And they said, go to see the babies first. And then, so we went to see the baby animals. And then we rode a camel. And stuff, and then we got in the car and very slowly and carefully went through this petting zoo. And it wasn't really a petting zoo. You weren't really supposed to put your hands out the windows and touch anything, but all kinds of animals. And so we were going through, and we would stop and, you know, let them come up to the car, because they did. They came right up to the car and put their noses on the window to look at you. So the looking was going both ways. And so we, you know, we just kind of wandered around and looked at everything. And then we were sort of on our way out when we saw a doe giving birth. So I stopped and I said, oh, girls, look at that. Isn't that great? So we turned off the car and rolled down the windows and we're sitting there watching. We were watching for quite a while and she was getting her business done. And I looked up and there was a parade of animals going by. They were all heading for their nighttime pasture. And I said to the girls, you know what? I think we better get out of here. No, Grandma, no, she hasn't had the baby yet. And I said, I know that, but we don't want to get locked in here overnight, do we? Well, no, no, they didn't want to do that either. So they were ready to leave. So we drove to the gate, and sure enough, it was locked. So I said, Grandma's got to go to the bathroom first. So I went to the bathroom. By the time I got out, one of the girls had got the number off the sign and had called. And the lady said, you're where? Well, we're in the zoo. Well, how did you get in there? Well, we've been here all day. So she's I'll be right down. So she drove down. She said, did they tell you what time we closed? And I said, no. Well, they closed at 5, and it was after 7 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. Aren't you glad you gave the phones back to the girls?
I am, yes.
You might have spent the night in that petting zoo.
I might have, yes.
You had another story, which is pretty wild, about a bat getting caught in the house.
Oh, gosh, yes. I was cooking dinner, and Bob said, Valerie, there's a bird flying through the living room. And I thought, when somebody, you know, when somebody passes gas, he says it's a frog, so I'm not paying any attention to him. Pretty soon he comes in and says, no, Valerie, really, there's a bird in the house. And at that point, I looked up and I saw it fly through, too, and I thought, oh, no. So it was, you know, it was past dinner time, and we hadn't found it. And I said, you know, we can't do anything about it today. We'll find it tomorrow. I don't want the darn thing pooping in the house. We'll find it tomorrow. So about 10 o'clock, Bob went to bed, and I went downstairs to watch TV. At midnight, I came up, and as I was walking towards the bedroom, I looked at the front door, and there was this black spot above it. I thought, oh, that must be the bird. So I turned the light on, and it was a bat. So I went in, and I shook Bob awake, not altogether gently, and said, honey, honey, it's not a bird. Wake up, wake up. It's a bat. And he goes, a bat, a bat. I hate bats. So we got up, and we started trying to figure out how to get the bat out of there. So I said, you know, I'll get the broom, and you knock it down with the broom, and I'll throw a towel over it, and then we'll get it like that. So we thought about that for a while and decided that had too many possibilities to go wrong. That wasn't going to work. So then he said he wished he had his net that he used to use when he went fishing. So I ran into the kitchen, and I got the strainer from the kitchen. And I said, well put it over there, bring it down. And then you can get it out. And I said, but be careful of that little obstacle right there, because that'll set the alarm off. Well, he said, this is not a good idea either. So finally, we went into the garage, and we got the gloves that you use, like if you're going to be working on the rose bushes. We got those. And he came in, and I put the high chair up there for him. And he got up, and he grabbed the bat with his gloves, and then he got down, and I moved the high chair out of the way, and I opened the door, and I opened the storm door, and he stepped out and to shake it off of his hands. So he started to come back in, and it was hanging on his glove, and the person still in the house closed the door in his face. So he's standing out there, and he keeps shaking his hand until it falls off, and then I let him back in. Well, then I had to have a picture. Honey, honey, I need to have a picture. He said, no, you don't. Yes, 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 I do. So I tell you what, you open the door, and I'll take some quick pictures, and then we'll close the door. And we did that really fast. Well, that bat was laying there looking towards the door, its eyes wide open, just looking at us. It was kind of scary. But the next day it was gone. We thought that, you know, it had just flown away. But we found out later that bats don't lift off. That's why they hang from trees. They have to fall and get some air under them to take off. So he must have turned himself around and drug himself to the end of the steps and got himself away.
Oh, my. Who knew?
Yeah.
I've never heard that they couldn't fly just by taking off. That's an interesting piece of science there. So So the book, you get the book published, and how has it been received?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a bestseller or anything like that, but you know, my friends and family like it, and the people around here, there's a lot of book clubs around here, and they have read the book for their clubs and invited me to come and talk to them afterwards and tell me how much they liked it. And it's the people who have read it have really given me some good feedback. One lady said, "Valerie, now that I've read your book, I feel like we're best friends." And another one said, "I read your book and I loved it, but I never want to get into a motorhome with you." Can't say
that much adventure you can't handle.
Exactly.
That's wonderful.
And another lady from Amazon said that this story was like her favorite onion, the Vidalia, all warm colors and sweet flavors with thick sections that melt with each new layer that is exposed to the heat that follows. Valerie, from California to Arkansas, I have heard it said that growing old is not for the faint of heart, and if that's true, the author will grow old slowly.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, I thought that was really nice. But I've gotten very, very, the people who have read it have loved it.
That's wonderful. It's good to hear, because that's such, especially when you get the comments and you get to read them, because it's so validating when people appreciate what you've done and what you've shared with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has it given you any new opportunities to do things that you never would have thought you would do?
Oh, goodness, yes. I've been on 3 different television interviews. I've done several phone interviews. And like I said, the book clubs, and I've had the book republished recently, and they did a wonderful job, and it's in several stores around the country now. So I don't know, maybe people will pick it up for their friends for Christmas. I know it would be a wonderful gift.
It would be. It sounds like it would be a delightful read for the holidays, and we need something lighthearted.
Yes,
It may be a difficult holiday for many people, so I think it would be wonderful if they could find something like your book, specifically your book, to have in hand and chuckle their way through the holidays. Where can people find them?
Well, you can get it. You can get it on Amazon, and if you're getting it on Amazon, be sure to get the one with the yellow cover. The other one has me on the front. Drinking a margarita. And there's a lot about margaritas in my book. The one with the yellow cover is the new edition, and it's really, they did a wonderful job on it.
That's great. So that's at Amazon. Is there also, do you have a website?
Yes. My website is thenewsfromarkansas.com.
And is that actually more stories, or is it blogs, or just what do you find there?
Well, it's reviews and interviews and press releases, and there's chapter 1 is in there, and there's some photos and how to purchase.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, Valerie, I really appreciate your being with us to talk about the news from Arkansas. I imagine people who really enjoy these stories, you know, will just, there's just so much richness in what you share about them. And once again, for listeners, we've been talking with Valerie Katz, who is the author of The News from Arkansas. I'd also like to thank our listeners for joining us today. Please support Valerie and the other authors on the podcast. Buy their books, recommend them, give a copy to a friend, especially at this time of year. And I also invite you to come back and often as you can to see the new voices that are coming. There's some wonderful people coming up this season, and I would love to have you share them. You can also learn more about the power of vision, which at this time of year is a wonderful thing to do to get set and ready for the new year. And this is all through the Train Your Brain, Claim Your Power calls. Prepare to jumpstart your future with a few power calls. Keep up to date with our community of authors. Check out manifestyourdreamroadmap.com. Subscribing there, you'll become part of our community. So thank you again for being with us, Valerie, and for sharing all your humorous observations about human differences.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
And we're glad to have you. So once again, it's time to go, everybody. Bye for now. Have a great day. And do have wonderful holidays. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for tuning in today. If you've been inspired by this show, leave a rating or review on iTunes and visit www.rainbowsoverruins.com to receive a free chapter from Susan's book. On behalf of Susan Shirako, this has been Rebuilding Your Life, Moving from Disaster to Prosperity, sharing the journeys of those affected by sudden and great loss and what they did to heal, rebuild, and where they are now.